Welcome to Music from the Tower, highlighting the beauty of sacred and classical music. We come to you from the Tower of Hope on the magnificent campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. Now, here's your host, John Romeri.
And this is Music from the Tower. This is John Romeri, your host. And we have had some amazing people on this show in our past episodes. But today, I think I have my two favorites. We actually have today the music staff of Christ Cathedral. We have Lauren McCall, the music administrator. Hi, Lauren. Welcome.
Hello, John. Very nice to be here today.
It is great to have you. Lauren's just back from a little vacation.
Yes.
So she's fresh and doesn't remember all the things that we drove her crazy with.
Oh, no, I remember.
Oh, dear. And then we have our associate music director and organist, David Ball. Welcome again, David. David's already been on the show once with Paul Jacobs.
Yeah, thanks for having me back in the studio.
My pleasure. It's great to have you. So today's show is going to be about Christ Cathedral. A little later in the show, we're going to have Father Christopher, our rector, join us. And we're going to start to talk about the dedication coming up and all the exciting things coming up at Christ Cathedral. But we're going to start our show talking about our choirs. We have more choirs than brains around here. We really have a lot of choirs here at Christ Cathedral, and we're going to tell you about some of them. And there's probably an opening for you out there. Audition week is just coming up, and so it's not too late to get in on the action here at Christ Cathedral. So our very first choir, that when Lauren and I came on board about a year and a half ago, we started the Cathedral Choir, the English choir that will sing the main cathedral masses. We have how many now? 40?
We have about 45 in the cathedral choir now. Since we've been here about a year and a half, so still kind of brand spanking new.
It is, and they are doing a fantastic job, aren't they?
They are amazing. They have worked so hard these past 18 months. I mean, we literally started the choir pretty much the minute we walked onto the campus. We had about 40 hours of auditions over the first 2 weeks we were here. It just totally hit the ground running. So they've been in business about as long as we have, and they've worked so hard.
They really have. Some came as amazing professional musicians. Others came as folks that just loved music and thought, well, I'll give this a try. Some read music really well, some not so well. And we've had summer classes and all sorts of other things, but they're really on the way. Now, David, you're a newcomer to this. You're only about how much?
Actually, almost a year now.
Almost a year. Yeah, in October.
He survived to tell the tale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're glad he's still here. We saw his car driving away on the first week, but it didn't happen. He's stuck it out. I think you're pretty proud of our cathedral choir too, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. They're a really hardworking group, and for a choir that sings every week, it's nice that they get together not only, you know, professionally, but also on the side. We have parties and things, so there's good camaraderie in our group
but
too.
The level of music they've been making over this year and a half has been pretty amazing. It really has. I mean, they're singing repertoire now that other cathedral choirs around the country would definitely be singing.
I think they've surprised themselves, actually, with how much they've been able to accomplish. And I think they're very proud of their efforts, as they should be. They've worked very hard.
So they sing the 9:30 Mass here at Christ Cathedral every single Sunday and are also part of the nucleus, really, of our diocesan choir. This, too, is another brand new choir.
Yes.
We just started. And the diocesan choir, how many in that?
We have about 100 in the diocesan choir, and we still, of course, have auditions coming up over the next 2 weeks. We have some folks signed up for those as well.
Well, that sounds like a mob.
Yes.
And they're from all over the diocese, right?
We do. About half the parishes in the diocese are represented by at least one or more members in our diocesan choir.
I'm really proud that we have a lot of diocesan music directors in there as well. You know, the people that are leading music in other parishes who are already stressed to the max are actually taking time to come down and be with us a couple of Mondays a month. And that choir sings for what? David, you've been playing for them for a year.
Oh, well, it sings for lots of diocesan services. Obviously, our concerts here, too, our Christmas concert. And it's wonderful to see people from all over the diocese coming together to sing for these services that minister out to our sort of outreach here at the cathedral.
Well, things like ordination, chrism mass, all those things that when we want to really represent the whole diocese, the diocesan choir does that, actually physically does that by having members from all over the place. And how do these people get into this choir?
Well, they audition. They actually auditioned again with those first 2 weeks right when we arrived on campus back last January. So we got a good chunk from that audition. But then, of course, you know, word of mouth. People were going back to their church choirs, talking about how much fun they had here with Dr. John. And
well, that's what we want to hear.
Well, and these are unique experiences. You know, being in a normal parish, you don't get to be part of Chrism Mass or ordinations. These are really special services. I think that draws people in to be part of the choir.
Well, it's funny because I grew up at Holy Family Cathedral. That was my parish growing up as a child. So I didn't actually realize till I went to another parish that not all parishes took part in those celebrations.
Yeah, those are big things. And being a cathedral parish means that we have all those big occasions. And of course, those occasions will only get bigger and bigger as we move into our cathedral. We're going to talk about that later in the show. But certainly, if you're out there listening in Radio Land and want to be part of the action as we dedicate the cathedral, now is the time to join those choirs. Don't come to us the week before and say, well, this would be fun. How do I get involved? I didn't get a seat or a tickets, so I want to sing in the choir. Wrong. That ship's sailing these next couple weeks as we get the diocesan choir ready. And of course, we also have a big cruise coming up with Bishop Van. And the diocesan choir will be the featured choir on this cruise. So diocesan choir, cathedral choir, and lots of musicians out there will be singing in Rome for a couple of days. We're going to be in Rome 2 or 3 days, singing at the major basilica, singing at the papal audience. Then we're getting on the boat, and the boat's going to take us to Naples. We're going to Barcelona. We'll sing at the Familia Church that morning. We happen to hit that church on a Sunday, so that's really going to be fun. We'll sing a joint mass with their choir. We're going to Mallorca, where Junipero Serra was from. We will sing at the monastery where he lived. And in that monastery, in the back of the church, there are all these statues. I can't wait to show people these great statues. And the statues are actually in the order, in the basilica, of the missions of California. So on the far left is San Diego. And it just goes right up our coast as you're looking. So he remembered the statues from this basilica. And when he came to California to establish those missions, actually created the missions in order of those statues. So what a thrill it will be to sing in that place.
That's a fairly amazing connection to have between the Orange County diocese going all the way across the pond to Spain to be able to see those statues and that they're named with our mission.
Well, and as you walk up to the basilica, there's a huge statue of Junipero Serra right outside the church, which is just fabulous. And then we're going on to Provence in France. We're going to sing at the Marseille Cathedral, hopefully get over to Avignon. And then we're going on to Pisa and Florence. And then back to Rome. So we're going to sing in some great, great cathedrals and make some wonderful music. So now's the time for our diocesan choir. So we'll get tuned up in all these cathedrals all over the world. And then we'll be ready for Christ Cathedral come 2019. We also have our children's choir.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. They're probably the best part of my job, I have to say. I love them. They are just such wonderful young people.
And these two are diocesan. They come from about 20 parishes around mm-hmm. the diocese, a little over 20. And there are 60 children, hand-picked children in this. And they really have been amazing. They've been singing in parishes all over. We just sang at Martin of Tours. We've sang at Our Lady Queen of Peace. No, Our Lady.
St. Martin de Porres in Yorba Belinda and Our Lady Queen of Angels
in Newport Beach. I knew she was a queen of
something.
We We've sung at St. Simon and Jude in a big festival, and the kids are actually going to Rome this January to sing in an international festival for the Feast of the Epiphany. We're singing the Papal Mass with the Sistine Choir. So how cool is that?
They are so excited. Oh, my goodness.
Well, we are, too. I can't wait. It's a festival I get to conduct each year. We had about 400 kids the last time. And this time, our choir is going to be pretty much front and center. We don't have as many kids on this trip, and it's going to be great. They're going to sing a concert. We're going to Assisi. So these kids are going to get the thrill of a lifetime. So if you've got some young singers out there, bring them our way, grades 5 through 9. But we also have a new, brand-new preparatory choir. And we got this idea from our summer camp. How many kids, David, did we have?
Oh, we had so many. Hundreds of kids.
Thousands.
We had 105 at our children's camp this summer. And little guys from K on. But our new preparatory choir starts in grades 2, 3, 4. And we're so privileged to have Patrick Flahive from Sacred Heart in West Covina coming down every Saturday. So Children's Choir meets on Saturday. You can find out lots more about our choirs on our website, ChristCathedralMusic.org. You can actually even sign up for an audition by clicking the little button there. So all of our choirs are there, and they're just fantastic groups having a lot of fun. We're making music right now in our arboretum. With 12 masses a weekend in 4 languages every 5 minutes, it seems like. But we'll soon be moving over to Christ Cathedral. We also have a fantastic, probably one of the most advanced Spanish choirs anywhere that I've seen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In the nation.
Hands down.
I'm sorry that today not joining us is our Dr. Rick Soto, our director of Spanish music, but he is just a phenomenal musician. Throughout this program, we're going to play music from some of our concert series guests. And the very first guest is Johann Vexo from Notre Dame, playing Trio No. 4 by Johann Bach on the choir organ of Notre Dame, where he plays every single Sunday. And he'll be playing right here at Christ Cathedral this coming October. So we have lots more to tell you, and Father Christopher will be joining us. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Music from the Tower. Music from the Tower. This is John Romeri, and today we have the gang from Christ Cathedral. We have some of the best musicians anywhere. was our David Ball over there.
Best radio guests ever.
Yeah. David just graduated from Juilliard and has been here almost a year now, coming up in October. Really one of the finest young organists anywhere, and is our associate music director. I was proud that David was one of my organ students. So, mm-hmm. Finally, one that made good. No, that's not in prisoner. It's just David. Great to have David here. He's playing some of the finest organ music on our beautiful Arboretum organ here. Today we're talking about on the show Christ Cathedral and the music that's going on right here on our own campus. Also with us today is Lauren McCall, and Lauren is the music administrator, and that sounds pretty clerical to me, but she also happens to be one of the best sopranos in Southern California. In our cathedral choir, and certainly one of our great cantors. She also cantors at several other parishes. Well, in our first segment today, we talked about some of the choirs here, and we've got more to go. We told you we had a boatload. We've got choirs out there.
Choirs.
Choirs.
Come get your choir.
More choirs than brains.
And come audition for our choir.
We'd love to have you. And David is the organist for all of our Spanish masses and works with Dr. Rick Soto, our director of Spanish music, who unfortunately couldn't be on the show today, but we'll certainly have him on a future episode. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with our Spanish choirs, David.
Oh, and what a privilege to work with Dr. Ricardo Soto, who has such a great background in music and conducting, and also the Spanish music and classical music all at once. And what's so wonderful about our Spanish music program here is, you know, at a lot of churches, you see the Spanish music program and the English music program aren't connected at all. It's always separate things. But here, we have something really special. We don't look at what's different about them. We look at what can bring everyone together. So these choirs share repertoire. You know, we sing Latin repertoire in the English choir and the Spanish choir. And the English schola and the Spanish, they join the Spanish too, and we all sort of get together to make great music in both languages and to minister to both communities. And it's also the same with my organ music. You know, I play organ music that fits the readings of the day, and I play that for the English Mass and for the Spanish Mass too. So we really have the programs here are all about bringing everyone together around the same great music and the same great music of the church.
You're quite right. We're so lucky to have Dr. Soto. How many people have a musician with a DMA, a doctorate of musical arts, conducting their choir? He not only has that whole piece, but of course, Jaime Soto, his brother, is the bishop of Sacramento. So he's got that churchy piece too. Absolutely. Comes from a fabulous family, but he's actually even taken some of the English propers that we sing at the 9:30 Mass and translated them into Spanish. So our wonderful Father Christopher, who will be joining us, is often the priest at both those masses since he's bilingual. And he's going, I just heard that piece in English, and now I'm hearing that piece in Spanish, the very same song. Well, that's thanks to our Dr. Soto and the wonderful music. Part of my challenge as music director here is taking this multilingual parish and making them not Spanish and not Vietnamese and not English, but Catholic. One of the hardest challenges for our church today is we have all of these ethnic languages. I think it was the challenge 100 years ago as the immigrants came to this country. In those days, they were all separate parishes. On one corner, there might be three or four churches, all with their own ethnicity. Now we're all jammed into one building, and we have all these services together. But it's very easy to forget that you're not Vietnamese, and you're not Spanish, and you're not English, but you're Roman Catholic. And so the repertoire does not just come from your country, but it must come from the treasury we have of the entire church, of the Roman church. And so we're working hard to do that, everything from Gregorian chant to Latin motets, to music from Spain, to music from Vietnam.
And singing the sacred texts, like the those beautiful Communio texts, bringing those into the Spanish community as well as the English community.
Yes, it's something that all church musicians, especially those of us serving in cathedrals, are trying hard to do, is to regain the beauty and the richness of the texts of the entrance antiphon and the communion antiphon especially. And to be able to sing those is a great joy. You know, as we moved to the changes, we all began to sing hymns. Everybody sang hymns because it worked for the Protestants. It's got to work for us, you know. But what we lost was the texts that are actually associated to each of those days. It actually is the name of some of our Sundays. You know, Gaudete Sunday.
Quasimodo Sunday.
Yes. All of those Sundays were named after the first word of the entrance antiphons. And so we're working very hard here to restore that beautiful tradition. Just coming up in the next month or so, we're actually beginning our Vietnamese cathedral choir. So each of our choirs in all of the languages will have a real cathedral choir singing that repertoire, sharing Latin text, which, of course, crosses all those boundary lines. We can all sing an Agnus Dei. We can all sing a Greek Kyrie. And it really makes a big difference in these communities to when we do come together, Holy Thursday and Holy Saturday and, you know, Thanksgiving, we have repertoire in common. And that's a big challenge. It's certainly one of my biggest challenges here at the cathedral. Well, we have lots more things besides choirs here. Just ask the two people that helped me make it all. They just passed out.
Oh, boy.
But, Dr. John does keep us busy.
I try my best. We have concerts here. And, of course, that's another great mission of every cathedral is to be a center for the arts, the sacred arts. We have a drama series here. We have Christfest here, an annual Christian, contemporary Christian music festival. We have our annual Easter Carillon series every single Wednesday. The Carillon plays. We have food trucks. We have,
I love the Carillon
concerts. Oh, yeah, the Carillon concerts are fun. They're outdoors.
Such a great opportunity to bring people onto the campus that otherwise might not come, too. You know, right. They hear the bells through the air, and they're coming from, you know, down the block and walking over from UCI and, you know, we have people in wheelchairs who might not have a lot of opportunities to get out, but they love to come.
It's a completely unique experience.
They come with their picnic baskets and their their bottles of wine. And
no bottles of wine, John.
Oh, no. And their soda. And we just have a great time here on the campus listening to beautiful Easter hymns and sacred music from our 42 Bell Carillon. It was an interesting thing that Dr. Stephen Ball said on the show a few weeks ago. He said that the carillon is the outside voice of the cathedrals. Mm-hmm. And the organ, the pipe organ, is the inside voice. And that's really true. Inside our great cathedral, we will have one of the greatest pipe organs in the world. But outside of our cathedral, we have one of the great carillons. Mm-hmm. In the world, 52 bells that are actually played mechanically by a person. So besides that, we have our cathedral concerts. And this year coming up, we've got some great artists. We have an organist. David, tell us about this organist.
Oh, well, we have Johann Vexo coming, and he's the choir organist at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. And which the choir organist, there are two organs in Notre Dame. There's the big one that you always sort of see on television and pictures, and there's this beautiful instrument at the front of the church that accompanies the chant and the singing and the choral music that happens there. And we're so lucky to have Johann Vexo coming all the way in from France to play our beautiful organ here in the Arboretum, a beautiful 82-rank Skinner.
He is really all over the place playing concerts, and it's a very interesting system in France, isn't it? There's the titular organist, and the titular organist is actually an employee of the state of France, of the country of France, and the parish musicians are the choir organists. The choir director and the choir organists are actually the parish musicians of each of the parishes. And so together, those two different, very different groups make music in France. And in the last segment, we heard a little piece by Johann, but he's actually playing a concert here on October 9th at 7:30, right here in our beautiful Aeolian Skinner organ. Later that same month, we've got a group from London. Stile Antico is coming, one of the great early music groups in our vast repertoire. There's a million groups now singing music. And Stile Antico, I've never heard live, and I'm very, very
excited. Oh, yeah, they're spectacular. Absolutely spectacular.
They are just fantastic. And we're going to hear a little piece of theirs just coming up in a second. We've got our own Christmas concert with all of our choirs involved, Spanish, English, you know, everybody, diocesan, children.
Children's choir, everybody,
a full orchestra at that concert. And, of course, our guest tenor who comes each year, Cesar Sanchez, one of the great tenors in America here. He comes all the way from back east. He's singing operas. He's a wonderful Mexican-born tenor who has been part of the Orange County scene, and we're happy to have him joining us again this Christmas. We've got two very wacky organists from the cathedral playing a concert. David and I are actually going to play a concert, some even pieces for four hands, four feet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Some duets.
That's going to be fun. That's February 2nd. And Father Christopher, our wonderful Father Christopher, is going to be joining us for that concert. We'll ask him if he's practicing.
Yeah, we'll see.
And then we end the season with Sacre France from our D'Angelis Vocal Ensemble. Lauren, you're actually a member of that ensemble.
I am. This is our 13th season, and I was actually one of the founding members of the ensemble. We're under the direction of Matthew Gray, who's
who will be on the show very soon coming up.
Yes.
Telling us about their whole season. But this ensemble is just fantastic.
Thanks.
It's one of the real treasures of Orange County, I think. And we're so happy that they're a regular visitor. So we have groups from all over the place. Now let's listen to a little bit of Stile Antico. This is a piece by Orlando Gibbons. And it's Oh Clap Your Hands. And we'll be right back, and Father Christopher Smith will be joining us. Don't go away. Lots more on Music from the Tower. Again, this is Music from the Tower, and we've added a guest. We have Father Christopher Smith. Welcome, Father.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Father Christopher Smith is the rector and the pastor of Christ Cathedral. Now, that's a little bit unusual, isn't it?
It is. I have multiple roles, actually, on the campus.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, one, I'm also the Episcopal vicar of the Christ Cathedral campus.
Oh, that sounds snazzy. Tell us what that means.
Well, it's a fancy title. And really what it means is I'm the bishop's designate to oversee the administration and the development and the carrying on of the mission of the whole campus, of which Christ Cathedral Parish is part. And as rector of Christ Cathedral and pastor, I'm also the bishop's representative to make sure that the pastoral care of the people is taken care of in the territorial parish that's called Christ Cathedral.
That sounds like a huge job to me, given the size of our great parish. Now, he didn't make you that just because you had an out-of-control music director. It really was something you had before I arrived, right?
It was. In fact, it's because of the positions that I have that we are in this marvelous process of developing our Christ Cathedral music ministry, because one of the commissions that the bishop gave to me was to establish the first ever music ministry here at Christ Cathedral. And I'm so happy to say that we're well into that development, thanks to our great team with you, John, and Lauren, and David, and Dr. Rick Soto, and so many people who have made this program just grow very fast, very professionally, and very excellently.
David and Lauren would definitely concur that we've grown fast,
yes,
right?
Yes,
absolutely.
We just keep adding and adding. The choirs just keep growing and growing. We're so excited about all of that. We talked a little bit about the concerts even, that, you know, a cathedral is more than just a place where you go for liturgy, but a cathedral is a place where it is a center for the arts. It really is a center for many, many things. It's the liturgical center of our diocese. But it's another place where the treasury of our Catholic faith musically is kept. And we're trying very hard to make sure that we respect that great treasury, that all of the music we sing is not just pieces composed in the last 5 years or 2 years, but it really has the breadth of our treasury from Gregorian chant all the way through the latest compositions.
Yes, and that's very important to me. It always has been really important to me as a Catholic priest to understand the Catholic theology, which says that one of the characteristics of the human person is to appreciate the aesthetic or beauty. It's what we're wired for as human beings, and there's no other of God's creations that really can appreciate beauty or create beauty. And so the Church has taken over the centuries very seriously that tremendous gift that we have. And the cathedrals have traditionally been the centers for the development of the arts, because it highlights who we are as human beings. And as we say also in our church, the more excellent we are and the more we are vigilant about creating beauty in our lives and in our world, the closer we get to the divine. And so this is all part of what drives me inside in terms of really wanting a fine music program here at Christ Cathedral. And again, I'm just so happy with how things are developing.
Well, we're happy you're happy.
That helps.
Yes, it certainly does. I've served in four cathedrals, and I've never had a rector quite as wonderful, I must say.
Well,
partially because you're an amazing man and a fabulous preacher, but it's also because Father Christopher Smith is a musician himself.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about a certain organ recital coming up where the Ballroom Mary Show is adding a Smith to the program, and then we're going to have Father Christopher Smith playing the organ. By the way, all of our concerts, the tickets are actually available now. You can get them at our same website, ChristCathedralMusic.org. You can find out a lot more about the choirs there, the music. Actually, even this radio program has a full page. You can always see photos from the radio show and lots of the music. Sometimes on the radio, you only hear a little minute or so, but you can hear the whole piece at ChristCathedralMusic.org. So make that one of your favorite places to go on the web. Well, Father Christopher, you are, because an organist, I think also super excited about Hazel's return.
I'm very excited about Hazel's return because I heard Hazel when she was in disrepair, and she sounded pretty good.
Hazel, of course, is our gigantic pipe organ, which served the Crystal Cathedral all those years, the gift of Hazel Wright. And we're proud to say that Hazel is in full repair now. Everything is complete except for the second console, which is in Italy as we speak. and on our way back. David Ball, organist, are you pretty excited to get your
hands? Oh, absolutely. Well, it's such a famous organ, and it's a famous organ that was comprised of famous organs when it was put together. You know, it's the famous Aeolian Skinner from New York and Lincoln Center was brought here to become part of this organ with the Ruffati that was the gorgeous Ruffati that was already in the Arboretum. So it's sort of like this parish, sort of bringing together lots of different things to sort of become something wonderful.
Well, just to tantalize you listeners out there, one of our guests coming up this in the next few weeks is Richard Unfried. Richard was the very first organist at the Crystal Cathedral, and he's going to tell us a lot more about the acquisition of all those organs and how it was put together with that very famous organist, Virgil Fox. So I can't wait for his program. That's going to be fantastic. But Hazel is really the fifth largest organ in the world, and so that's another reason that this great cathedral is going to be world famous. Don't you agree?
Oh, it is. And the organ really is already famous in many parts of the world, and it's just so marvelous that we've been able, since we acquired the campus, to raise the funds to have Hazel restored. It would have been a real tragic circumstance to just continue to let that organ fall into disrepair. So it's a real renaissance. And David, I love your analogy of the organ to our parish, made up of a lot of different parts, and hoping and to pull it all together in some beautiful unity.
This indeed is a parish of many, many parts. We talked a little bit about our Vietnamese, our Chinese, which we didn't mention, but we have a Chinese community. We have our English, our Spanish, but we also have Samoans. We have Filipinos. We have all sorts of people that make up the texture of this very complex parish. How's that like, pastoring that giant ship?
Well, it's a challenge, and it's also wonderful because I love – one of the favorite things that I've been able to do and like to do as a priest is to draw people together and to create a sense of unity. And this parish, by far, gives me the biggest opportunity to do that that I've ever had. However, I have worked in multicultural parishes before I was pastor. I was pastor of St. Joseph Church in Santa Ana, which is a much smaller parish than this parish. However, it was there that I learned the value of being immersed in different cultures, the value of language, and really having a heart for people in the different cultural circumstances of their lives, because those are the lives they bring to the parish community. With regard to the music program, as you well know, our challenge is to have one unified Christ Cathedral music ministry, and that's what we're striving to develop. So the music program in this parish is never about squashing any culture or anything like that. In fact, it's about bringing out the best in the cultures musically with the professionalism that all of you people have to bring to all of our cultures. And so, as I described recently in our parish assembly, and I just put it in writing not long ago, is we want to have one unified music ministry here at Christ Cathedral that happens in various languages, Spanish, English, Vietnamese now. However, part of the music ministry eventually will probably be Samoan. It could be Tagalog, Chinese. Who knows? So the languages will be well represented, and there will be unity in the directorship and the way we approach our musical programs during the Sunday liturgies as well.
Before you joined us, we talked about the difference between all of these ethnicities and really making everyone focus in on we're Catholic first.
Yes.
You know, that we have this tremendous tradition musically. All of the arts are important, but the church reminds us constantly in its documents that music is the greatest of those arts. So I know you've got a sacred art commission working on the beautiful art of the building, but it's music that carries the word of God, and that's the difference for us. And that tremendous gift and tremendous challenge for us in this multi-ethnic parish is to be able to have that eye that we're Catholic first. And it's the Catholic tradition that gives all of us a reason to be.
I want to highlight what brings everyone together. It's such a cool thing. You can stop in at any of the English and Spanish masses, and you'll find something that's wonderful and beautiful and that you'll recognize and be able to participate in.
And it's kind of fun to go from a little piece by Telemann the other day at our Spanish mass. And then the next thing you know, it's this very raucous Spanish piece that opens the mass.
Oh, yeah.
And beautiful. Then there's a beautiful little Kyrie that we sing in Greek. And then there's, you know, I mean, it just, it's all there for people to love and enjoy. A few weeks ago, we some of our cathedral choir members stayed. We sang To Us Petrus by Palestrina, not just at the English Mass, but also at the Spanish Mass. You know, so we're very excited about the future here musically. We're going to end this segment. We'll be back with a lot more. This is a little piece by the D'Angelo Singers. It's one of the Mass in G, which they'll be singing at Sacre France.
Yes, yes.
Miss Lauren, you've already sung that piece once.
Yes,
right?
We sang it about 10 years ago.
Well, this whole program with D'Angelo is all going to be music from the great country of France, and this is a little bit about this, of the Sanctus from that Poulenc Mass in G. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back to this final segment of Music from the Tower. This is John Romero, your host, and we have the staff and even the boss of Christ Cathedral here with us. We have Father Christopher Smith. We have David Ball, the organist and the associate director of music. And we have Lauren McCall, our soprano par excellence and music cathedral music administrator. So thanks to all of you for being with us today. This has just been a fantastic show. But we've got to talk a little bit more about the cathedral building itself. We've talked about the choirs and the concerts and the organ, all of these great things that are going on here. There's so much. It could, each one of those could be a whole show, couldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But the cathedral is getting ready, isn't it, Father Christopher? Are we really getting close?
We are really getting close.
My wife, Karen, will be so happy to know that.
Yeah, we are. We actually began the construction of the renovated sanctuary in June, and we have about a 21-month estimate in terms of the completion of the sanctuary itself. And we already completed a major project, which was to re-caulk all of the 11,000 panes
oh
of glass.
I can't imagine.
Wow.
Yeah,
yes.
I can't imagine.
And we put new mullions on them too, which are the frame that goes around the windows. That
so took no about more a leaking year. On the organ.
No more leaking on the pipe organ. No more leaking on the people. I know. She suffered a bit from
she
that.
She did suffer
so.
Quite a bit. Yes.
But that was a huge project, which is finished.
And it took over a year.
It took over a year to do. Yes.
Came in under budget too. As
and
well.
Early.
And early.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
Yes.
And don't forget, some of the windows are still available for the Heavenly Lights program.
Yes, they are.
Through Catholic Charities.
Orange Catholic Foundation.
Yes.
Right. I myself bought five of those windows right where I'm looking as the conductor.
That's great.
In memory of my dear parents and some other things in my family. So you too can do that. Check with OCF. And be part of the history of this great cathedral. So the windows are done. Now what are you doing? You're tearing up the floor.
We're tearing up the floor because we're putting in a new floor, stone floor. And then we're also putting in scaffolding because this is taking major work from the ceiling down. And so the first step is to erect scaffolding. And then we'll be able to install the quatrefoils, which is our innovative way to control the sunlight coming in, the heat, the cold, acoustics, the lighting. These quatrefoils, which are hanging sails, if you will, that will be hung from various parts of the space frame, they will be installed first, and then the lighting after that. And so all the work that has to go on at the top of the cathedral and along the walls will be done first. Then we'll take down the scaffolding, and then we'll begin the construction of the sanctuary space.
Well, it's a big job, as you're hearing here. We had a wonderful signing blessing, and some of the quadrifoils were actually in place. And what I didn't realize was there was lighting in the quadrifoils.
Yes.
Wow. That does it look cool? It's like in being in a very starry...
Yeah, they're visually very stunning.
And from the outside, it's just as cool.
Oh, yeah, especially at night. It really does look like the box of stars as it's described in the museum. It's really wonderful.
It's going to be amazing, folks. You've got to get yourself here to Christ's Cathedral. And when we do open, there'll be a whole series of events, right?
Oh, yes. We have many events where we have the conceptual ideas about them. We haven't planned specifically anything yet. But
we've got 21 months left.
Right? Yeah, we do. But we've already, I've already informally begun a dedication committee, and the committee has many facets from marketing communications to the concert series, the planning of the liturgy itself, the special events that will surround the dedication, a gala evening probably, and other things. So there's a lot to be done in these next months in preparation for the actual dedication.
It takes a long time. The dedication of any church involves quite a liturgical ceremony. There's the blessing of all the walls. There's oil on the walls. There's all these things that happen in making this a sacred space. And, of course, musically, that's going to be a thrill. Our diocesan choir, all of our cathedral choirs, our diocesan children's choir, they'll all be part of the deal. So now is the time, friends.
They're very excited. Everybody wants to be a part of it.
Audition now.
Best seats in the house for the dedication.
Absolutely. The choir loft's a place to be.
Yes.
It's where all the action is.
Well, I was with some folks from the Crystal Cathedral Ministries over the weekend, and, you know, of course, they wanted to know all about how the renovation's going, and they said, now, we're going to get invited, aren't we, to the dedication.
I think there's lots of people out there, and probably you out there in Radio Land, are also thinking, well, how do I get in on this? Well, there's going to be many, many events. Certainly a parish celebration, no doubt.
Yes.
There will be even an exhibit, probably, in the Cultural Center. We're hoping maybe something on the missions.
That's what we're hoping for, yes.
So hopefully our De Angelis Voices, they do a lot of music for the missions.
They have
whole concerts, even things for children on the music of the missions.
We did. We did a concert, not this past season, but the prior season, all about the mission music. And we do an educational outreach program through the public schools in the area where we go and we talk to the fourth graders who have been learning about the missions, California missions, with their teachers. They prepare music with their music teachers at the schools, and then we come in, we sing with them. They do a performance for us. We do a performance for them. It's just a really fun way to...
Well, all of those exciting things will be converging on our campus. Of course, after the 21 months of construction, then Hazel starts to go in. And Hazel needs 41 weeks to be fully installed and voiced and finished in our space once it's a dust-free environment. Can you wait that long, David?
Well, I'm not sure. No, what an exciting rebirth for this famous instrument. And a rebirth in that it's totally going to be repaired and installed. Everything will be working, and the space will be environmentally controlled like it has never been before. So I'm excited to sort of meet this new amazing instrument.
Well, I think organists from around the world are excited about that very thing, that this organ will be playing better than it's ever played in its existence.
Mm-hmm. Ever.
You know, that it never was it in perfect shape ever. I'm sure there were always things that needed this and needed that, but for at least this first beginning, it's all going to be 100%. So how thrilling to have Hazel back. Of course, there'll be a television ministry. We have our own EWTN studios right here on the campus, and of course, our wonderful OC Catholic Radio right here. So there's great opportunity for outreach and bringing people to the campus. Certainly, there'll be concerts. I'm meeting actually tomorrow with our symphony management to talk about bringing them to the campus and having the symphony here, the Pacific Chorale and the Pacific Symphony, all part of the dedication and many other events that will go on.
Well, and also an event this monumental, like the dedication of a new cathedral, this is a great opportunity to also expand the repertoire. This is a great opportunity to commission new works and really expand, mm-hmm. to bring new things in this great monumental celebration that we're gonna have.
Well, and part of our dedication committees, the music committee will have certainly subcommittees on concerts, subcommittees on commissioning new music, bringing new music to life for choirs and for the assembly, for the music for the people. Having done this for 1,000 years, I certainly feel honored to have brought several pieces into the repertoire, from papal visits that I've been the music director for, the festival Alleluia that practically the whole world sings, was a commission for the Pope's visit in 1999 to St. Louis. So commissioning works is another facet of every great music program, to bring new music into the repertoire. And some of it's amazing, some of it's okay. It's always a little crapshoot, but it's always a little danger. You know, you commission these things, and it's like, oh, that's nice.
It's a lot of faith to put into someone.
It's a lot of faith, but we're going to have some great music going on here. What are your other hopes and dreams for this great week of commissioning and dedication?
Well, I hope that the dedication of the cathedral will be a source of revival for the whole Diocese of Orange, especially because so many people, tens of thousands of people, have supported the project by their gifts. People have been waiting for 4 or 5 years to open this cathedral, and the excitement is still there. When I travel around to different parishes and all, everyone's, when are we opening this dedication?
I know. They're so excited.
Yeah, and so I think that I'm hoping for a real spiritual renewal of the diocese. Again, that's what a cathedral is supposed to do. It's supposed to generate enthusiasm and participation and unity.
It's just going to be an amazing time for the diocese, but really the whole world. The whole world will be looking here musically. I think other cathedrals are dedicated, but this is not your mother's cathedral. You know, other cathedrals I've served have been a cathedral and hopefully a parking lot, but not always. You know, this is a gorgeous 36-acre campus that's just amazing.
It's an amazing campus that gives us an amazing opportunity as Catholic Church to really just reach out to the world in a way that few other places that call themselves Catholic can really do.
World-renowned buildings that, thanks to our Father Christopher, are perfectly now restored. This Tower of Hope that we're broadcasting from, all of those places have been, the Arboretum is so beautiful, completely restored, and the organ inside. And so we're very, very lucky. Well, there's lots going on here at Christ Cathedral.
Always.
You heard from three of the finest here. I want to thank you again, Father Christopher, for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and visit with us just a little bit on Music from the Tower. Certainly great to have our organist and assistant music director, David Ball, and Lauren. It's wonderful to have you.
So excited to be here, John.
I am just thrilled that Lauren is back from vacation. That's all I
know. Yes. Did you miss me?
It's been a long haul. Well, we're going to just a reminder again that all sorts of things can be found at ChristCathedralMusic.org. So I invite you to check it out. Music from the Tower, all those things. We're going to end with a little piece coming up from our Christmas concert. It's a piece by John Rutter. It's actually an extended work called Magnificat. And this is the opening movement of that Magnificat. And until we meet the next time, I encourage you to go out and listen to some great music in live performance. So this is Music from the Tower, and John Romeri thanking you for being with us, thanking our guests for being with us, and we'll see you next time.